Okay. I call the October 15th, 2019 regular board meeting of Jericho Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
7:01, Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey? Absent. Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Here.
President Brooks?
Here. Okay. The board will now enter into closed session where no action will be taken. I entertain a motion that pursuant to Section 5 ILCS 120/2 of the Open Meetings Act, the board will enter a closed session to discuss property as mandated by Section 2.06, point parentheses 5 ILCS 120/2, parentheses C, parentheses 6, closed parentheses. Those present during executive session include commissioners and Executive Director Lisa Shepherd.
So moved.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey, absent. Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes.
Excellent.
Motion passes. Motion to return to open session.
Dudley?
So moved.
Okay, move so moved. Dudley, second?
And someone second?
Second.
Okay, discussion? No. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren just stepped out. Commissioner Covey's absent. Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. I might just start with consent agenda.
You go right ahead.
Okay. Okay, consent agenda items A through C are routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from consent agenda items? Okay. Entertain a motion to approve consent agenda items as presented.
So
okay. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Motion passes. Okay, and I believe there is no one here
Stephanie from entered
the public
back in
to speak, so we will pass that over. Financial report is next.
Okay, we're now through the month of September, and consistent with prior months, you know, we're down on the beach due to the early cold, rainy weather. We've recouped some in the daycare department. Rec fund is looking good. Fitness continues to be a question mark right now. Hopefully we make up for it with a change in the how we're getting the revenues on a monthly basis now instead of one lump sum. So we'll continue to monitor it, and especially now as we get into the budget cycle, take a look at that. Any questions?
Okay.
Thank you.
So we are going to move to the approval of resolution number 904, recognizing Glencoe Park District as the 2019 NRPA National Gold Medal Grand Award winner. And I am going to read the resolution. Oh God, I saw it. Where is it?
There you go.
Oh good, thanks. So I actually prepared just a couple sentences on behalf of the board to make this a little more personal. And I'd like to read that now. On behalf of my fellow commissioners, I want to publicly acknowledge the employees of the Glencoe Park District as winners of the 2019 National Gold Medal Award for Excellence in Park and Recreation Management. The award is based on objective measures of performance, and it is significant to the district to be recognized in this way. This award validates what we already know, that Ms. Shepherd and her entire staff bring the very best in dedication, responsiveness, and talent to their work. Of special note are the district's efforts that showcase social responsibility, initiatives that may not be noticed by the greater community, but are crucial to the quality of their work. It is important to recognize that this award also reflects very highly on Glencoe, because parks and recreation have a direct impact on our quality of life. Congratulations, and keep up the gold medal level work.
And that's very nice. You don't have to read that. No,
okay.
That was awesome.
So now, here we go. No, you expect me to read fast enough, and I try to do my best. Okay. A resolution recognizing Glencoe Park District as the 2019 National Recreation and Parks Association's Gold Medal Grand Award winner. Whereas, founded in 1965, the Gold Medal Awards Program honors communities throughout the U.S. that demonstrate excellence in parks and recreation through long-range planning, resource management, volunteerism, environmental stewardship, program development, professional development, and agency recognition. Whereas, the gold medal selection process is rigorous, requiring the park district to submit statistics, specific examples, and executive summary of its master plan. Agencies are judged on their ability to address the needs of those they serve through the collective energies of citizens, staff, and elected officials. Whereas, the Glencoe Park District was a finalist for the gold medal in the Class 5 category, less than 30,000. Finalists in the category included East Goshen Township Parks and Rec, West Chester, Pennsylvania, Rolling Meadows Park District, Rolling Meadows, Illinois, and Vernon Hills Park District, Vernon Hills, Illinois. Whereas on September 24th, 2019, the Glencoe Park District was awarded the 2019 National Gold Medal Grand Plaque Award for Excellence in Park and Recreation Management from the American Academy for Park and Recreation Administration, AAPRA, in partnership with the National Recreation and Park Association, NRPA, and sponsored by Musco Lighting, LLC. Whereas, in recognition that this is the first time the Glencoe Park District has won the gold medal, the National Gold Medal. Resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the Glencoe Park District that we extend our heartiest thank you to the community, past commissioners, and staff at the Glencoe Park District for their collective hard work and dedication to excellence and stewardship that led the Glencoe Park District to become best in the nation, adopted this 15th day of October 2019. Resolution passes.
Excellent. Well, I would just like to say, and I move this on behalf of the staff, because obviously you can't pass a resolution that's praising yourself. But, you know, without this board's dedication, your creativity, your thinking outside the box, you're pushing us for excellence, we would not have received this. So, congratulations to you for receiving this. You should be very proud. This sometimes only happens once in the history of the Park District, and you're the city board when this happens. So, congratulations to you. So, I'll present that to you. It's really happy. You have to really.
This is my athletic life. This would be the first medal.
So, hold it up with your arm.
Yeah, it's cute.
Okay, this is on its way to us. And Erin, we're going to announce this community-wide.
There's plans.
Okay. We have plans. We're working on it.
Okay.
We're working on our plans to celebrate this. It'll be a year-long celebration.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's like the centennial.
Oh, okay. Yes. In fact, if you look at our email, our emails already have it on the bottom there.
Okay.
So, you know, so. But we do want to get a picture with the whole board. Obviously, Michael Sarah wants to do it tonight. So next month, we'll plan to take a picture with the medal with the board and the staff. So
okay.
Plan on that.
Awesome. Okay. Director Mensinger will recap the insurance renewal detail and answer any further commissioner questions.
Yes. We need a motion and a second.
We need to make a motion to pass that resolution.
She said aye.
About that goal.
We need a motion. Okay.
Somebody has
first, Dudley and Josh. All in favor.
And then the second.
Okay. So moved.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you, Jen. Thank you.
Now,
on to Carol and the health.
Yes. In summary, as we discussed earlier in our committee of the whole meeting this evening, staff is recommending to continue with three options for the health plan: the $500 PPO, the HMO, and the $1,250 high deductible plan, as well as to utilize $2,000 of the medical insurance reserve, and to do a slight $5 to $10 increase on insurance coverages for employees, resulting in about a 3.23% increase based on current coverage levels right now.
Okay, any further questions? All right, we are going to move now to Director Bobby Collins and Beach Facility Manager Matt Walker, who will present their beach and lakefront annual report.
So lakefront.
Oh, that's fine. We're good.
I'm Matt Walker, custodian at the Medical Community, for taking a few moments to hear about the beach operation this summer. Bobby Collins and I will go back and forth on the presentation. We're going to go over the beach operation review, number of beach closures and the reasons that we had the closures, some attendance statistics, financials from the beach, survey results and feedback, and some beach design. Staffing levels for 2019 were in line, a little bit lower than we were for 2018, with 55 staff total. Of those 55 staff, we had 34 lifeguards. The lifeguards were cross-trained between road guards and lifeguards, so we got into a situation where we were low on staff. On Bathing Beach, I was able to take lifeguards and bring them over and put them on the barracks camp. Just proven to be quite receptive by the staff itself, but also in times of need on busy days, being able to pull over and adequately staff the beach, as you can say. Beach training, everybody, all the lifeguards had a minimum of 20 hours of training for preseason, probably going to Memorial Day weekend. And then they were also required to attend at least 4 hours of in-service training per month. All cashiers and beach services were also required to attend preseason training, where that would minimum 4 hours of training, and then again, 4 hours of in-service during the course of the season. Honor review, which is something that everyone conducts every year on us. We did an excellent job again this year. Our lifeguards performed flawlessly. We got an A rating. She also had an A rating in 2018 as well. Revenue collection, we did the same thing that we did in 2018. And years subsequent, we had cashiers at both the Park Avenue entrance and the Hazel entrance for a recommendation from our Lakefront Advisory Committee from last year. They said we should have somebody up at the switchbacks on Park Avenue. So on busy days, weekends, holidays, we had another cashier specifically at that station to steer guests down toward the cashiers. We had over 534 tallies of people being steered towards the cashiers. So that position proved that they could work, gives us better attendance, obviously we're capturing more revenue by that. We also had a third station constructed where we were accepting season passes. We go through busy periods during the day. During those busy periods, that season pass station worked. We were able to get our season pass holders in, get them scanned, they could go down without the void form on cashiers. We're looking at better ways because it wasn't always necessary. So we'll always look at ways of streamlining and creating a faster service time to get our guests through the cashiers and down onto the beach. Water testing. We did typical water testing. Again, we're still doing the 24-hour testing. On days when we thought that we were going to have high counts, say we had big storms, or a new storm coming for that night, we'd have heavy rains, we did double tests. And the reason for that is we took one test between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m., and we took a second test between 12 and 1 p.m. And on 5 different occasions, the second test results showed lower bacteria counts than the 8 a.m. test, thus resulting in a day that we could be open than we would have otherwise been closed. So that $28 test paid for itself, you know, in revenue and then also to be open. Beach programming did very well again this summer. We had our sailing aquatics camps, did fantastic. Most of the sessions were all waitlisted. We added some new programming this summer, including little seal sailing and puddle jumpers, which were 5 and 6 year old camps that were focused on precursors to aquatics and sailing. We're excited about the enrollment that we had and we're developing and continuing to develop that program as well. And we also did 2 new family sailing programs. We did tri-sailing parent-child on Friday evenings, which we had positive enrollment. And then on Saturday mornings, we had family sailing. So up to 6 groups of six members of any group of family could come out and sail, bring the boat, go up, have a good time with the water, come back, it would be great. Again, very positive feedback. And we look at expanding on those options. Beach closures in 2019, we had 11 closures of bacteria, as opposed to 10. In 2018, we had 8 due to inclement weather, 1 high surf, so we were closed 2 less days. Something I want to point out here is between the high bacteria and the high surf, there are numerous days where we had high surf and bacteria. The high bacteria would have closed us anyway, so that's how we reported with high bacteria.
It's also worth noting that high bacteria happened to land on a lot of weekends this year compared to weekdays, so that was a pretty significant impact on revenue. You'll see it when we talk about the comparison of attendance.
We had 9 days of non-closures on weekends. So, and that's our window. I compared those who were left and they had 10 days where they were closed on weekends. So it's not just us.
Yeah, that's big.
It's the way it happens here. So on the data side, we did an analysis of the last 3 years comparing residents versus non-residents. I will point out the trend for all beach visits. Here in 2017, we had 29% of all visits being residents. We went to 34 last year, and now we're up to 38% of all visits coming from residents. So that trend is definitely what we're seeing to be attracting more residents to the beach. The overall attendance was significantly down this year due to the weather. Pass visits were surprisingly strong, actually. There was a significant amount of pass visits this year. It's when people bought them, they tended to go. Because the weather wasn't good, pass sales did struggle. They were stronger than the year before, but we felt they actually were really good with the amount of marketing we put in and the offer we did with the paddle board. But we just didn't get the traffic in June where people buy. And noticeably, Northbrook residents really didn't buy the pass this year. They're normally out first 2 weeks buying the pass because they just didn't come those first couple of weeks. So we saw a drop in pass sales there.
Horrible June weather, though. Horrible weather.
Awful. So
that, I mean, if you have a hot June, I bet you'd sell more. I'm really sorry.
To that point, and to about the horrible weather, in the month of June, we had 6 days in the 50s, we had 10 days in the 60s, 13 days in the 70s, and only 5 days in the 80s. First degree day.
Yeah,
so we've been open for a full month before we hit summer.
So it was a really rough start. But the good news is, you know, pass sales were above the year before and in line with the year before that. There was also an increase in guest passes, where residents could buy guest passes for their friends. This chart here is comparing average daily attendance for 2019 to 2018. You will notice in blue on the dots, Saturday overtook Sunday this year as a higher average attendance, and they're significantly down on the averages from the year before. So on the loss of revenue, it came from the weekends. On the weekdays, it was kind of in line, a little moving here and there, but really the weekends is where the difference was.
So it seems like what you're saying there is, people are going to come to the residents, or whoever is going to come to the beach on the weekdays, and come back regardless of what.
It's a different demographic. You're getting the teenagers that are coming down to the beach every week that don't have summer school or that. So that's what we see down there. You do see the families as well, you know, on spring rounds that come down in the morning. So we capture a lot of that attendance in the morning.
Pass holders will come down if it's 60, 70 degrees because they've already passed, but if you're going to pay $14 or $7, right, you're going to make sure it's going to be a great day. Mm-hmm. So that's why pass is so important. This next slide just goes back to the conversation we had about daily fees and passes. And this here is a breakdown of all comp or discounted passes that either go to other municipalities in Glencoe, the village, the library, the school district, our district, of course. So the library was 4 passes issued for staff. The school district was 8, the village was 1, family services was 1. The school had the most visits other than Park districts. The district also offered 117 passes to its staff and commissioners, and of those 117 passes, only 101 visits, and actually about a quarter of them came from one family. So he's not here tonight. So financial, this is kind of a scary one here. What we decided to do this year is look at the beach as a whole, what we're doing in terms of facility operation, also program revenue, because we don't put the program revenue into the facility operating budgets. So we broke it down into beach operation, which is swimming beach. This year you'll see that the projected net on that facility is $28,000, down significantly. Most of it is due to the daily fees. Voting side, the loss had increased this year. You'll notice it's a big increase from 2017. That's when we decided, when Matt joined us, to split the cost of the facility manager actually between those two facilities. And then you will see really the shining light here is that the program surplus has really grown into something good. We're utilizing each lot more of our programs, and it's really contributing to helping pay some of those direct and indirect expenses at the beach. So this gives you a more overall view of what the financials look like. There is a lot of indirect costs still, but this gives you the best summary of that. Survey results, we heard down feedback about doing some benchmarking, so we went back to the last 6 years. We took overall satisfaction with our guests at the beach, and we benchmarked year after year. And you'll notice here in 2014, we had 6% of our visits saying that they had a poor experience, and we're down to 1%. We had excellent go from 28% to 39%, and then we had good 52 to 50. So overall, this is over the last 6 years, showing a pretty significant increase in customer service. I think every year the bar gets raised as well, but I think this shows that we're on the right track with that.
It looks like excellent got a lot better after Matt
took
over.
It did.
It's
not much better than Super Bowl.
Ouch.
No, it's not. All that.
You know how to act. Give it to me.
I've played a Matt's team. They've done a great job improving it. So very proud of the team. This is another comparison, apples to apples, with 2018 versus 2019. Really the only change, and it's hard to believe, you may have seen it in the report, is bathrooms. Yeah. There was a drop there. It's constantly, every year it seems to be a constant feeling in the community, the bathrooms aren't up to scratch. It's hard. We spent a lot of time cleaning them, and then a couple months later they're dirty. We also saw that when we looked at our staff, we asked the community about our feeling towards our staff. Again, cleanliness, the facility, it's between fair and poor, kind of flip flops this year, but the good and excellent stayed the same. It is worth noting that the facility is starting to get a little aged in the bathrooms. Those tiles have started to fall off, cracks have started to appear, and it is something we're looking at, but people definitely start to notice that. This question was new this year. Your experience at the beach this year compared to last year, was it better or was it worse or was it the same? 18% said better, 10% said worse, 56% said the same, and 15% were new people to the beach. So I thought that was quite interesting. So the yeses kind of beat the noes almost 2-1.
Future planning areas that we want to investigate and look at for improvement include sports modeling options for online reservations for the sun shelters. The sun shelters take up a considerable amount of time, and we are still unable. You know, we live in a time now where we have computers, everybody has a smartphone, there are online reservation systems. I want to investigate these systems that can make our life easier than what we set up for payments, but we do just make the reservations online, and having accountability for each one of these reservations. It's an area where we're missing out, and it takes a lot of manpower to track, all, and then just to deal with on a daily basis. So the second thing we'd like to do is we want to investigate aligning our opening schedule, full-time opening schedule, to that of the intruder's calendar. We want to make sure that we are fully staffed and adequately staffed when you're open full-time. Without college kids that are home early, it can be very challenging to staff both, number one, the lifeguards, and number two, the boating beach as well. Safe without adequate numbers. So we want to make sure that we're on the computers. Look into it and see if it works for us. Then we want to continue to develop our existing beach program. So the program that I spoke to you about earlier, and look into new programming options for not only Boating Beach, but also for the beach itself.
So we'll open up to any questions that anyone may have. That is a good one, by the way.
I'm like, downtown.
Just a weird question, the first one. Code Adam, what is that?
Oh, that's a good question.
Code Adam is for a lost person.
Oh.
So anytime that we'll have a patron come up to us and say, I can't So it's the same thing each one of the facilities. It is a very serious, we don't joke. If somebody said that we can't find a kid, it's not saying, okay, well, we can find them in 5 minutes. It's an immediate, we get the description and we lock everything down and people go in a position to try and locate
them. It's more complicated to think too. There's a number of them.
Oh, yeah.
The child's been found within 2 minutes, we both of this.
Right.
So we haven't really had to deal with that.
Right. And so that's just a term that is used for any water.
Yes. Any place.
Any place.
Our
building code. Lost child.
Person.
Okay.
Lost missing person.
Okay. Any chance that you could, that you've considered renewal of beach passes as sort of a way of kind of generating, you know, before people have to think about it in a cold June, they've already renewed it early? Is that under consideration ever, or a bad idea, or not?
We can investigate that.
When do we start our beach renewal? So we do start in March.
Yeah. It is something to look at. A lot of pools offer where you renew by the end of the season.
Yeah.
The next year, you get locked in the same prices.
Yeah.
You can absolutely look.
Or even an incentive of some sort to lock those in pre-season. Okay.
Or maybe something like this. Process, like my neighbor said to
me. We already do.
Hey, if you send me a postcard and just say, I opt in to Watts or Beach Pass and then bill them later, they said they'd do it. They don't want to come down and register. And, you know, it is something to
they
consider.
They can renew online
say,
already.
You know,
it's a renewal.
Yeah.
It's a renewal, they can renew online.
But we are looking at the process. We just did that website usability study, and that was a big thing that came up in that. So it is something we are investing in.
Okay, good.
Looking at, because we did have users actually sign up for a beach pass. It's one of the tests that they had to do, and we saw some points in that.
Okay, good.
So we already have, we do early bird passes, so you can get a cheaper fee if you register before certain deadlines. We start in March and we go to a certain date. They have to get the early bird fee, and then it goes to the regular fees. So those are
just
things we're already doing.
Is, first of all, I'm of Swedish heritage and I really like a clean bathroom. It's like a thing for me, but my thought is a public bathroom on a public beach, I think the bathroom's pretty darn good. I mean, that's just in my own experience. I think the expectation for a spotless bathroom on a public beach is perhaps a disconnect that you will just always be struggling with.
If you get rid of the sand, we would have no problem.
Yeah.
We still want to try it.
They're working on getting rid of the sand.
Yeah, we are actually. Nature is working on that for us, right?
And it's just the same thing if you go to a pool in one of these areas. You know, the locker room isn't what you would want at your home because people are traipsing in there and they get money. So.
Not that we shouldn't keep trying, but I think it may always be just one of those things.
And it has been.
Okay.
It's like,
so
we'll keep trying.
Yes.
Of course, we're always going to look for better ways to keep clean.
Right.
And at least try to stay ahead of it. Mm-hmm. You know, especially on the high traffic Saturdays and Sundays.
Stephen, do you have any thoughts? Dudley?
Yeah, I want to say that when I had my grandkids on the beach, they had a wonderful time. I feel that they were well supervised, staff was well trained, and they were proud of having full operation. I'd like to learn more about it. Anyway, there were two areas that I wanted to especially talk about.
That's Carol Nature.
So the end of our 3-year contract has just passed. The current concession vendor has said they do not want to come back, which is not a surprise because it's very difficult for business to make money seasonally and out of the weather. So we're starting to explore our options. So Matt and I are going to sit down and come up with what is the best option. There might not be a perfect solution to it. It is a constant source of people complaining about it, and just one of those areas that you saw in the survey that did not come back as positive as others. So we're looking at our options. We have some time, but we're going to explore and see what other people are doing too.
It's extremely hard when you don't have above 80 degree day until June 25th, and it's a 3-month operation. They're making no money down there. Wow. They're investing a lot of money, and so it's an ongoing problem there.
So is this one of these things where you might just keep it in-house and just sell ice cream bars and popcorn.
Those are all the things that we're going to look at. We're going to look at vending. Okay. We're going to look at internally doing it and things like that. So that's one of the...
It's not a money-making.
Yeah.
Right.
So
but we just want to mitigate our losses. Yeah. So, and do customer service, yeah. It's not something that... A lot of people come and they want, like, healthy snacks. Well, you provide those healthy snacks and no one buys them. So it's kind of it's really hard. Yeah. It's really hard. Concession operations for aquatic facilities are extremely difficult.
Yeah. The other comment I had, and it cuts across jurisdictions, is the issues of parking. I mean, the fact that we are able to use the open carts and stuff in the future mountains is a great improvement, I think. But sometimes it is tough to get a close enough space. Maybe we can arrange that better through a white wayfinding process or something. I don't have any great ideas. So something maybe we can work with the village to get to.
So we had already discussed some of the feedback we got was people didn't know the buffer car existed. So we talked about putting maybe designated pickup spots.
Yeah.
Which might be an option. So we can definitely talk to the village about putting maybe a pickup drop off location on either side, or if there is a further back location, we'll work with the village.
It's interesting how many non residents seem to the beach as well. I know that we're increasing our percentage of Glencoe people. Some days it sounds like a little United Nations. A lot of people from all over New Jersey. So
some of the tenants downtown, obviously they need to be out of the mail, so we'll have to sell one over.
Okay.
And do as we can pay up, you might say, you know, Texas at this number. And that way you get confirmation back that, hey, we know you're there.
Sure.
That's a great idea. That is a great idea. Yeah, Josh, that's a really good idea. I like that one.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
Wow, that's your one job. That's your one idea for the year. You're good. That was awesome. That is a really good one. Yeah, I like that.
Although, you know, walking up this part of our.
It was going to people who have mobility issues are the ones that were. They struggle to get them. They're halfway down the ramp and they're out of breath, and people are trying to.
Trying to help, yeah.
The beach issues surrounding the center, better connections with the people upstairs.
Some things coming back, you know, with these southerlies that we've had.
We've had a very bizarre, the lay levels are very high, obviously, you know, near historic record levels. We've been having, as Bob was just alluding to, these very odd southerly and easterly and southeasterly winds and powerful storms that are pushing all of the sand in the areas that were notoriously used to get from up onto the north ends of the beaches now. So now we're looking at the south ends of our swim zone, down by our swim zone, about where the guard towers are, where we had one storm in particular where the tower washed away. The waves came up so high, and then there was at least a 3.5 to 4 foot just drop down to the sand level. And all the beach that we had lost, like south here, was all in 50 feet more additional space over by the south floating beach. And the same thing happened over where we were using sand by our bank of lockers on the north beach, where we lost everything on the south, and then we were literally worried that the lockers were going to fall in the water. And now we go from 4 feet of lost sand to about 6 inches of sand underneath the bottom of the lockers. So we're getting these very strange cycles that I personally have never seen down on the beach, but the sand's just getting pushed from what seems like from one side to the other.
And Dudley, Bobby and I continue to serve on the IDNR Sand Management Group. So we're looking at all these issues and sand retention and how we can better, you know, look at ways to do that, both naturally and man-made structures to help that. We're very lucky that we have our pier. That's the only reason we have a beach right now. So, you know, we're in much better position than our neighbors to the north. They're bringing emergency sand, yeah. So we're not at that level. But I just wanted to caution you, with the high lake levels, we will see some pier damage, I'm sure, again this year because it's so high. And Chris is already taking some measures. For example, we're going to take the rails down earlier because history, back Bill tells us all this history that, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, I don't know the exact date, they would take those the railings down every winter, and they seem to have less damage. So we're going to try that this year. We're going to take all the railings down. We don't have to have them up. We'll post the signage to try to mitigate some of that loss and some of that damage to the pier. But, you know, we're looking at high high water levels again. So.
A real challenge.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful facility. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes.
Thank you guys. You did a wonderful job once again this summer.
Thank you very much.
Great presentation. I like your use of data.
Okay, we're going to move directly to, bye Matt, thank you.
Bye.
We'll move to staff reports, and the first is business.
Yeah, I don't really have a whole lot to add other than what's in there. We've obviously started the budget cycle, so we finish one and get right back into the next one. So,
well, when will we talk about the CIP again?
It's November committee meeting, I think we start.
I believe so, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. All right, any questions for Carol? Recreation facilities.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I would add is that I was over playing deck hockey the other day and there was 40 kids at 3 o'clock.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, so it seems like a couple of moms have got the after school groups together and really got that momentum going. So we're really liking the momentum it's got. So we'll keep watching it. But it seems to be really, you're getting parents playing with kids, you're getting the after school program playing with it. So a lot of people are getting out in the community, walking by and seeing it. And it's free to play right now. So it was really cool to see that.
I was wondering about that. But right now there's no fee, you said.
Correct, and we would love to make sure there was open time in the future available to the community.
Yes.
They're trying to build it.
Yeah.
So they, again, they operate it as a business.
Yes.
But they also realize, like, they've already had birthday parties approach them, people wanting to do, you know, parties there, and that's, they then rented the rec room, and so there's a lot of opportunity, after school programming potentially. So we're exploring everything.
But you're right. I mean, it's our facility that they're using, so there has to be some quid pro quo. I hate to even use that word, given, but
a win-win. It's what we like. It's a win-win. We're partnering with them
to provide. But you know, the community deserves to have some open time there, and I think that's important.
And,
so,
and they are.
We believe that too.
Okay. Are they operating now as a business? Do they? Mm-hmm. So they have their programming now. Yes.
They're not charging anything.
They aren't doing traditional programming right now. Mm-hmm. Really, the only business that they're doing right now is the birthday parties.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the only thing they've charged anybody for.
So if a birthday party would be held there, they would there'd be a requirement that the building would, we would be part of that.
They would need the building,
Okay. Anything else? Okay, parks and maintenance.
So a few highlights, we're doing fall plantings, trees, grasses, things of that nature. Weather's been pretty good. We've been able to really make some good progress out on the early childhood playground here at Taken. Things are moving along nicely there. Just continuing to move ahead on capital projects and working on things for next year. Any questions, concerns?
What's the debt? What do you think it'll be done?
What?
Oh, the, I'm sorry, the Taken playground.
I would say here in November, weather depending.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's moving along nicely. I mean, we're about 75% of the way with the playground equipment, maybe another 50% with, you know, hardscape, things like that, working on lining up all our subcontractors for the synthetic play surface, the pavement markings, things like that. So it's moving ahead very nicely. They've been out there working in the rain on a number of days that I've been really glad to see somebody out there in rain suit. So, and as I've said, I get constantly criticized by this, by my child. So, it's really a topic of conversation on our 1 hour commute. So.
When's it going to be done?
Yeah, every day.
Although they really like the open play, too.
Well, I've been telling them by Halloween. And that's kind of bought me some time with a 3-year-old, but we're getting closer and closer, but it's not there, so definitely mid-November, I'd like to see weather depending, things wrapping up. It'll really depend on the temperature, is how that works, so.
Cool.
You put down that the three donation benches were installed, and I saw the one at West, which looks really nice. But I was wondering, is that going to be painted, the wood that's around it? Or because I haven't seen that. Or is that just to hold the concrete in place?
The wood was to prevent, because the location that the donor selected that we felt was appropriate, it's kind of on a pitch. So what we didn't want was a soil, basically, with the rain to continue to run and sit on the concrete and have it muddy. So that wood will just turn brown, like the wood at the beach around the sun shelters and things like that. It won't be painted. So it's just a little bit of a border to keep mud off of the concrete pad. So.
I assume there was a purpose.
Anything else?
I saw the little bridges going today
because
I walk here. So I
looked
to see what's
I know, it's really coming along.
Interesting.
We wanted those in a few parks, and so that's going to be.
That's cool.
That's a nice addition.
It was fun to watch it going.
Yeah.
Woodlawn continues to be a big success, I tell you.
All the new parks have.
Anytime you get
yeah.
frustrated, just think about Woodlawn, yeah. and it'll all be as good
it's
as
all
that.
Good.
Okay. So marketing communications.
We're busy. The winter brochure went to the printer yesterday, so we're staying busy. Everything's in my report. Working on getting ready for the gold medal celebrations.
Oh, yes. And I mentioned to Lisa, but I'll mention to you, I really like the Watts brochure this year.
Oh, yeah.
The mailer.
Mm-hmm.
It was really clear and looks like you guys are really pressing to keep that place active. So I liked it a lot.
We are trying.
Okay, safety and wellness. Carol?
Really don't have anything further to add than what's already in the report. I know we had our annual all-staff training yesterday, which is not reflected in the minutes for this last safety meeting, but all full-time and permanent part-time staff and all the daycare staff with the children not here yesterday, with it being a holiday, was a great opportunity to do some of the required annual trainings for both PNRMA and for the distinguished agency.
And so. DCFS.
And DCFS. Cool.
Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Anything else? Commissioners, nothing? Okay, so now we'll move to the executive director report. Lisa?
I don't have much except for that the masonry work started on the halfway house. So if you see some action down there, that's what that is. I sent you an update on the task force for the dog park. We have a Boo Bash coming up, if anybody would like to volunteer. We have a costume with your name on it. 29th. As a guest. So if you want to, just let us know. We can help make popcorn and stuff like that.
I'll work.
It's a really fun one. It starts at 6:30. What's that? 5:30.
My kids talk about this event for like a month before.
Yeah, it's a great event.
Like very memorable.
And they made some fun changes with the event. And yeah, so
is there slime again?
What's that?
Is there slime again?
No slime. Some kind of trick or treat changes. So we'll be using a different area of the building.
You have to wait and see. It's a surprise. You're going to love it. It's great. Other than that, you know, we put in the department heads. Chris, Bobby, Carol, and I will be attending the IAPD Legal Symposium. It'll be a very interesting one this year with some of the legal changes going on in the state. And I will also be attending a separate seminar just on weed in the park, and I never thought I would have to say that, but that's what I will.
Did not say weeds.
Weed, yeah. Weed in the park.
Yeah.
Marijuana and smoking of marijuana in the park. So that will be an interesting seminar that I never thought I would have to attend. But our attorneys from Ansel Glink are the ones putting on that seminar. So that's nice to know the ones that represent us are the leaders in leading the charge on this. IPRA conference, you'll see in the agenda memo, again, is January 23rd and 25th. So we're asking for delegates to go to the annual meeting. You can choose to do that, or you can choose to have me go to that annual meeting. That's that Saturday at 5:30, whichever you want. It's always such a big struggle. It's always Lisa. That's one of my jobs, right? Yep, yep. So my guess will be me and one of my staff as the alternate. Okay, and then really that's about it. We talked about our all-staff training, which was phenomenal yesterday. We have been, as you saw by the FOIA request, getting a FOIA request from one particular individual, and we've been responding to them in as timely manner as required.
So there were three of four this month were from the same person?
Yes, okay. Within a week.
Okay.
So, I think that's it. Any questions? All right.
Okay, so we'll move to action items.
Okay.
I entertain a motion to approve resolution number 905, Truth in Taxation, as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Lovin?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve the 2020 health insurance recommendation as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve.
Say Lisa Shepherd
and alternate
Carol
Messinger, Glencoe Park District's delegates to the 2020 IAPD annual meeting as presented.
You can go out for a fun dinner.
No. Did you hear that?
Dinner. What's that?
We get to go out for dinner afterwards.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You didn't get a dinner last year. All right. You heard it. All right.
Okay.
Okay, dinner by myself.
So moved.
Hey.
Second.
Okay.
Okay, any questions? None? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes.
Especially to have dinner.
I entertain a motion to approve the White and Company Agreement for services related to the development of the Maintenance Center Concept Plan, for a total not to exceed $19,500 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
I'd like to hear a little more about what this is about.
It's about developing a master plan for the maintenance facility, as we discussed in the last meeting.
Will this have any interaction with the village?
No. It would be on our own property and back. The village doesn't really have a place. We've gone back and forth for years trying to find if there's a place that we could do it together. There's really not. They're landlocked. We're landlocked. So there's not a site that's big enough or would be efficient for us to do it together.
The only reason I'm asking is because in their survey that they sent out to residents, it is mentioned in there about...
I understand that. Everybody thinks we just don't have big enough, either of us don't have big enough space. It would require us buying land outside of Glencoe to do it. Because there's really no land for sale in Glencoe, and there's not a land that we each own big enough to do one on that site. And not to mention, it'd be very inefficient if we had something far away. We'd have to buy a lot more trailers and trucks to get our equipment all over town. Right now, half the time, we're driving our tractors down the road to get to our park, so it's very efficient for us. So we've had discussed it for years, and there's really no place.
Anything else?
The scope of the project is in your board packet, which I'm sure you reviewed.
All right, so we will have a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. Is there any other business?
No.
Okay. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Excellent. You really wanted to do that, didn't you?